Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to the Deep Dive in Left Field podcast. My name is Jack. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Emily Nerds. You can meet my co-host Ryan. You can find him on Twitter at Ryan Garcia ESM. And James, you can find him on Twitter at James Valentinas. Today's podcast, we're going to be going over the divisional standings, the wildcard standings, kind of breaking that down, giving our predictions as to who's going to be in the playoffs, who's out. Maybe we'll get into some playoff stuff. Maybe we won't, haven't really decided yet. Potentially look, you know, forward to some of the free agent class coming up this year. Big class, you know, got more shortstops. Obviously, the big guy, Correa, last year is going to be back this year likely. So we'll get into that, but let's get started with standings, you know. Obviously, some of the playoff races are, you know, very tight. The NL West, let's start with the NL West. That one's very easy. You know, the Dodgers are going to win that. They already clinched it. They clinched the division. Like, that's over.
Which is crazy because there's still 20 games left.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they're how many games up on the Padres right now?
21 up.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they're just by far better than everyone else. It's kind of incredible. Yeah, and then in terms of divisions,
their run differential is plus 320. That's just
– yeah, it's really – they're an all-time team probably.
They're like the second or first in terms of like best teams post-integration, in my opinion at least. Like in terms of just production to regular season, one or two.
I mean, 18 Red Sox, I think, are probably
– No, they are not. The Dodgers literally have the best ERA minus of any post-integration team of all time at a 120 WRC.
What about the 0-1 Mariners are probably better?
No, they aren't. In any You would think that they're not. No, they're not somehow. Like, I was stunned.
Okay, you're looking at it. I think – I mean, generally speaking, I would say that the best team when you're looking at a full season, greatest of all time, is a team that wins the most games. But –
well, I mean, it's like dominance. It's less so like winning wins and whatever can be like fluky. Like the Dodgers are by far like on paper. If these two teams played a game tonight, the Dodgers would be favorites. Is the point?
You think the Dodgers would be favored over the 98 Yankees?
Yes, absolutely, 100%.
Strongly disagree with that.
I mean, think of the 90. Okay, so I don't want to like downplay the 98 Yankees, right? But at the same time, I mean, the 98 Yankees, that is not a team that roster wise is this mind breaking team that you can't possibly fathom. The Dodgers are literally going to set the post integration record for run prevention of all time. They're the third best team WRC plus ever post-integration.
This is after losing Corey Seager and Max Scherzer, which is unbelievable to me.
Right, and then pitching-wise, again, the best post-integration pitching team ever. Or maybe it's the second best. I know there's a Dodger team in recent memory that has a better or is... I think it was 2019 or maybe it was 2017. Let me double check. Yeah, 2020. So playing a full 162, they're second in WRC plus because the 2020 Mets, remember, I don't know if you guys remember that, they were like an unbelievable offense, but that was 60 games.
Yeah, but the other thing is that the Dodgers have, like, you're looking at every number you're looking at is a rate stat and there's still 20 games left. So like they could end up with a 119 WRC plus and all of a sudden they're 10th all time.
Right, so, but the ERA
right
minus.
Now they're at 122. So, I mean, I don't know. Like the 19 Astros had a better lineup. I don't think there's really...
Are we sure about that? Yes. 19 or 17?
19. The 19 team was better than the 17 team. If you're just going to look at straight numbers.
17 had like Marwin Gonzalez when he was cheating. That was actually unbelievable.
That was 2017.
Yeah, I know.
So that's what he said. But 19, the 19 Astros had like, that was when Bregman was like the second best player in the league that year, I think. Yeah.
They still ran. Oh, well, never mind. No, I'm dumb. They did run a very below average player in their outfield at one point because they had Reddick there. So, you know,
if you look at the 19 Astros, like if you go around, like I catch you got Chirinos who had 112 WRC plus at first base, Gurriel 131, second base, Altuve 137, shortstop Correa 142. Left field, third base, Bregman obviously won 67.
Correa also played like 95 games though. Like, you have to
Correa missed a lot of games, but then Bregman played short and I don't remember.
I guess if you put both lineups head to head, I mean, I would say it's like neck and neck. And then
if you go head to head, I'm taking the Astros lineup in almost every.
Are we saying based
the Dodgers are rolling out Muncy and Bellinger, who are both having just bad years.
They can just put Thompson player. There. They can
well, like kind of not great, but
they can just put Trace Thompson there as a 143 OPS plus and like is killing everyone.
Okay, well,
it's
Kyle Tucker at a 121 WRC plus that year, and he played 22 games. Like, what's the difference? Trace Thompson has played like 40 games.
He's played 60. That's so, the same shit. I'm just saying, it's not like the Dodgers don't have an option to bench Bellinger. They absolutely can. That's like
how Joey Gallo, you know.
Who's going to be – I think he's elite. I think he's at least a league average hitter.
Fucking liability.
No, he's a good defender, and he's roughly a league average hitter for the Dodgers.
Really sad. That's actually so sad to think about.
Yeah, it should.
Okay, especially- how about this? Mm-hmm. Zach Greinke had a 178 WRC plus for the 2019 Astros.
Okay, so, you know that isn't remotely the same thing as what I just mentioned.
Making such intelligent arguments, James, is so smart.
Exactly.
And the Dodgers are also I'm pretty sure they're the better defensive team between these two, just based on what I have here with the Dodgers. I'm pretty sure they were the better defensive team. So as a position player group, I'm just saying, I know that it can change. I'm just saying that right now, as it stands, September 14th, 2022, 10:40 Eastern time, the real time zone, by the way, it's 10:40. We are Eastern time people. But the Dodgers are the best pitching team in the post-integration era, and they are one of the two best offenses in the post-integration era. That speaks, and as Jack said, they lost Seager, they lost Scherzer. You know, they didn't go out and have an incredible deadline in terms of getting big-time guys. Their own division rivals got Juan Soto. Their own division rivals added Josh Bell. Their own division rivals added a guy in Drury who's red hot coming to that deadline, and they've pummeled them since. The Dodgers.
Well, I just think it's hilarious that the Padres invested so much in that deadline, and every single guy they've gotten has been just completely fucking horrible.
Oh, it's actually really hilarious.
I mean, obviously Soto's going to be great, but
Like Soto, long term, obviously you trust him, but he only has 117 WRC plus since going there. That's way lower than expected. Drury and Bell have been straight up bad. They've both been negative WAR players.
Pretty sure didn't Drury get hurt?
Maybe, but he still has a negative WAR since he got traded there.
No, I get it. I mean, look, with the Padres' hyper aggressive approach would work if they were better at developing certain players. I know they had an elite farm, but it's not like they just keep replenishing their farm to be elite. This kind of wave of players that I want to say ended with James Wood or kind of ends with James Wood is kind of over. They had Abrams has been highly touted for a while. Obviously it kind of started with that Tatis and I guess Mackenzie Gore was kind of that guy. He's obviously gone. Can the Padres really rebuild their farm system in that way? I'm not sure they can. That's kind of the problem with AJ Preller is that he's too aggressive. He gives some players too early. He'll obviously make a couple of good trades. He'll make a trade like Soto, which is, going to be a good trade probably. He'll make a trade.
But then for every trade like that, you give up Esteban Ruiz for Josh Hader. And Hader's been horrible.
Ty France, Andres Munoz, and Matt Rash. Those are three guys basically in two trades. But basically, it was all relatively similar for, a couple relievers, Austin Nola, who's probably not the best catcher in your roster. These are, they basically get
the Clevenger deal is a disaster.
What's that?
The Clevenger deal is a disaster.
He's Clevenger deal is really bad. Arias is really good.
The Mania deal, he's been dud. And it's kind of sucks.
Been kind of shit, but they didn't really give up much to that.
Oh, no, they didn't. And the Snell deal is weird because Patino, I feel like, is just not he's young. So I don't want to put he's any really young, label on
the Rays. He's not.
Well, they didn't really give up much for Clevenger either. The Darvish they deal,
they gave up Arias
and Naylor.
And Naylor. Wait, Bo Naylor?
That's a good...
No, Josh Naylor.
They gave up Josh Naylor. Actually, I'm forgetting that. They also gave up Quantrill, who's probably been just as good, if not better.
Quantrill's not great, but I think he's probably been as good as Clevenger.
I mean, this is what Clevenger's done in a Padres uniform, and I think he pitched today and he got smoked or something like that.
Yeah, he got shelled. I was watching.
Yeah, he got his ass kicked. He can't get whiffs anymore. Right now, his K per nine is at a 7.99, 3.91 ERA, pitching to San Diego, which is a pretty it's pretty favorable to pitchers. A 105 FIP minus. I mean, the dude's the 4.21 CRA. He's walking at a 7.1% clip right now, and he's giving up a lot of home runs. I mean, he's just bad, right? I don't really know how else to put it other than he's a bad pitcher. He I know he lost velocity, and that could be related to Tommy John, but I feel like when it comes to Mania's lost velocity, I feel like something's just wrong with the Padres. There is just something organizationally wrong with the Padres. You can't run out teams with the talent levels they've run out and be a fringe wildcard team. I mean, does anyone here think the Phillies are worse than the Padres is currently constructed? Right now? No.
Well, I mean... constructed, if you go into a playoff series, I definitely think the Phillies beat the Padres. And they actually might – there's a chance they face each other, right?
No, because
– No, because of the Braves. Cardinals. The Braves and the Mets.
Cardinals yeah. thing, yeah.
Yeah, the Braves and the Mets will be fourth. So, yeah, I mean, they'll be 5-6 probably.
a lot of that has to do with like training, you know, like, you know, training regimen is incredibly important. And especially when it pertains to velocity and it, you know, pertains to, you know, I guess preparation as well, you know, pitch profiling, whatever. Obviously there's the whole trend on Twitter with tunneling. Hopefully that passes soon. I mean, nothing wrong with tunneling. I think it can be important, but it's definitely, I would say, less important than it's being made out to be right now. We don't have to get into that though. But my point being is more so like their game planning, their pitching, you know, their training regimen in terms of velocity. Some of their development's incredibly suspect. They're, again, hyper-aggressive organization. You know, probably is probably a coke addict. It's like, you know, it's not, I feel like they're with their organization, you'd think they'd be much better, especially considering the amount of trade. They just make so many trades and so many transactions, and there's so many big splashes. It's like he's playing all over the show. And, you know, ultimately a lot of those come back to backfire. You know, like, I'm sure in a couple of years, you know, James Wood's going to be a superstar caliber player. You know, I'm not sure, but, you know, in terms of prospects, he's probably have. Probably,
I mean, but you never know. Like, I mean, with a guy,
prospects, you do never know. But like, if one of those guys hits that they go for Soto, you know, you're going to looking back and be like, okay, this wasn't that bad of a deal for the Nationals.
Well, maybe definitely not. But I don't think James Wood could be a Hall of Famer, and I don't think it would be a bad deal for them to have gotten Soto.
The process here was good for sure. I think it's more in terms of, you know, hindsight. I think for a guy like Preller, I think hindsight isn't entirely fair, just considering how aggressive he is. Like, for, you know, I will say though, with hindsight, when you get a guy like Austin Nola and like Austin Adams and Taylor Williams, and you give up, you know, Ty France, Andres Munoz, and Matt Brash, three potentially, you know, at least one's an all-star caliber player. I would say Munoz.
And then, no, it's two. Two are all-star caliber players. Yeah, France was an all-star, and Munoz has been one of the best relievers in the league.
Brash, I think, can be really good, you know. It's kind of an excuse.
Obviously better than Valdez.
I was going to say something like that. I was going to say, like, do you think he's better than Framber Valdez? Because I had to.
By the way, like Matt Brash, but I think it's funny that.
Shout out to Maxwell Resnick for just being
the I mean, I don't know. Like, if you look down the Padres' leaders in WAR this year for hitting, like, you can't really expect to make much noise in the playoffs. I know I've been someone who's kind of been really high on the Padres all year. But I just don't know if a team that has Ha-Sung Kim as their third leading WAR guys.
Ha-Sung Kim is good. Let's not throw Ha-Sung Kim as the bus. He's actually a good
player. No, I mean, he's definitely good, but he's got 100 WRC plus. Like,
he's not on the bus because he's a good player.
They have three everyday hitters who have a WRC plus above 100.
Yeah, Machado also really slowed down.
I mean, Machado's obviously.
Well, he's still an elite player. Definitely slowed down.
Really good. One of the best. He's been one of the best players in baseball this year. He's almost at a 7-win season, which he'll probably get to. He had a bad month, but he's been better recently, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, Aaron Judge would never have a bad month. Just saying.
I'm sure Aaron Judge is going to have probably the greatest season since Bonds, but that's.
He is definitely having the greatest season since Bonds.
Well, it depends. I think he's still not there yet, war-wise.
Yeah, that's the past bets.
He has to pass Betts and Trout.
I think he'll get past Trout. I think he'll get past Trout.
Betts is a lie. He needs another, what, 0.9 WAR?
Six WRC plus. Like, this is ridiculous. This is not normal.
I know. I get that. I have to stay consistent with the WAR thing, because the second I say anything like, oh, well, WAR doesn't, then there's going to be someone like, oh, well, what about Ohtani? Because fuck that argument, dude. I hate that argument so much.
I actually agree with that argument.
Think of it. He needs a six starter.
I don't think
WAR doesn't value Otani's roster presence, which is more about a contract thing. But in terms of raw production and everyday play, like, yes, it does. He doesn't play defense. Yeah. So he gets a negative positional adjustment hitting because he doesn't.
Right.
He gets the pitcher positional adjustment.
I want to just clarify one thing. People mention that he opens up a roster spot, and I get that. They have to have a six-man rotation.
They absolutely do.
You can't. Okay. So you're gonna go from Ohtani pitching how many innings he did last year to 200 innings in the season. You're gonna do that. You can't.
Yeah.
There's two pitchers in the league who throw 200 innings.
But you have to understand when you are pitching every fifth day. If you are pitching every fifth day without any rest, without any IL stints, phantom IL, whatever it may be, skipping starts, whatever it may possibly be. You are going to end up with over 180 something innings, close to 190, somewhere in the 200 range. How confident are you that you can take Ohtani, a guy who you still have under contract, and say it's a responsible decision to throw him out there without any phantom ILs. And if you have to throw phantom IL, that's a roster spot you have to use and have to be ready to have a starting pitcher there. Shohei Ohtani is a great player. I don't want to downplay anything he's doing. This has nothing to do with him as a talent. I think he's the best player in baseball. I don't think it's close.
He's definitely the best talent we've ever seen.
Oh, he definitely is.
He's talent-wise, the
best athlete we've ever seen. Like, this is right. This is not normal either. Like, we, you know, totally. It's not remotely a knock on him.
Ohtani's going to qualify for innings most likely.
Right, but how many innings will he throw this year?
Ohtani is a more valid argument for Cy Young than it is for MVP.
Yeah, I would agree there.
Oh, definitely. I think the Cy Young for the AL is kind of up for grabs now, like with Verlander's injury and McClanahan sucking.
And he got injured too.
Yeah, but I just don't like him, so I'm gonna say he sucks.
That's so base.
That's
like the only good opinion you have.
Could you make an argument for Framber Valdez to be the Cy Young?
I hope he wins it.
I wonder if Matt Brash is gonna win it. You know,
didn't he have 25 or something straight?
24, and I think he's about to set the record if he has a quality start in his next start.
Ridiculous. Since he's done it 24 times in a row, you'd have to assume he does it again. I don't know. I think with Ohtani,
nice piece of knowledge there.
I think
with Ohtani and Judge, I definitely think that I think the roster spot thing is a little overrated, because in order for that roster spot to matter, you have to have 26 guys worthy of an MLB roster spot, and I just don't think the Angels have that, so it doesn't really...
Also, it doesn't matter.
Sure, you can keep Phil Gosselin in the MLB. Good for you.
Half a win.
That's more,
what is that going to do for you?
That's more so a thing for money. Like, if you're going to pay Ohtani, what kind of contract is he takes up two roster spots in just one?
So you're thinking of him as, a $40 million player, but really two $20 million players, and all of a sudden it's...
Honestly, I would pay him $50 million a year on a short-term deal. I'd go short-term $50 million a year.
I mean, you can,
No, but he's probably going to go long-term. Like, I think if he's going to hit free agency next offseason, if he doesn't get hurt next year, he might get up to, the $500 million contract.
I don't know if he gets... Well, maybe. Actually, he's still young, so I didn't think...
He's only 27.
But right. I will say, you could argue for Ohtani's total money. If he goes short term and goes contract to contract, you might see him make more total money.
Yeah, but I think the problem with that is it's super risky. Huh? What did you say?
What if the Dodgers simply give him 1 year for $100 million?
They could.
You take it.
Would so do that.
And you take it. You absolutely take it. Because you...
Brian, you don't have to be, Shohei Ohtani's...
What, are you stupid?
What do you mean, Shohei?
You take it if you're gonna make $100 million in 1 year.
Chill on me, dog. Chill.
Ryan. It's yes, we know he takes it. That was the point of what I was saying.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Just yes,
chill. Yes, you take it. I don't obviously. Yeah.
Okay. So, anyways,
just mute him.
I just want to clarify. I don't want Ohtani with the Dodgers. I will murder myself if he goes to the Dodgers. It'll be over.
Call that suicide. Anyway.
Oh yeah, that.
But that's... I know Ohtani's... he's 28, and so he'll hit free agency as a 29-year-old, assuming he does, unless he gets traded and extended, because I doubt the Angels are going to shell out a $500 million contract. But who knows? Can't put it past them; they've done it before. But also, there's been reports and stuff that he wants to leave. I don't know if I really believe that.
I would.
What?
I think that was Seattle.
Nah, he's going to the Cubs. But anyways,
if I was Shohei Ohtani, I would hate my agent for making me ever think the Angels is a good idea. I don't know what made... What was his thought process?
Ohtani signed that arbitration deal, how bad that is for him.
No, the thing that's stupid for... Why did he go to the Angels? Okay, I get it. You want to stay in the West Coast. How many other teams could you have signed with? Out of every team you chose the Angels, right?
He wanted to be on a West Coast team because it's close to Japan.
The fucking Dodgers or the Mariners. Go to the...
Signed, he couldn't have gone to the Dodgers or Padres because he needed to DH. And there wasn't a DH in 2018.
That's true, yeah.
Oh, fuck. Go to the Mariners. Whoa, timeout.
The Mariners were fucking god-awful.
The Angels are god-awful.
I understand that, but in 2018, the Angels may have looked more promising than the Mariners. No, that's crazy looking back.
No,
but
no, they did not. They definitely did.
Do you know how long ago 2018 was, Ryan? Julio Rodriguez was 16 years old.
I understand how long that was. I remember. So 2018 season, the Mariners traded James Paxton. So that team, they were actually close to making the playoffs that year, if I remember. They had a collapse in midseason.
Sold their whole roster.
Shohei Ohtani would have been the fucking difference. The Angels sell their roster. They suck. They're terrible. I'm just saying, convincing. Okay, I get the DH thing as well. But you're
convincing. You can't, you make, like, that, that, That okay, so first of all, as a DH in 2018, that eliminates half the league, right? Correct. He wanted to be as close to home as possible, which is really stupid because
that's not stupid.
It's an extra, what, 2 hours on a flight to add to a 14-hour flight?
You also have to think you might have to, what's that word? Transfer flights. And I've never done it, but I imagine it's annoying. So, you know,
I have flown from Chicago to Tokyo without a transfer. It's not impossible.
And they let you out of the country?
But you said Chicago was knocked out. So,
what about the White Sox?
Okay, if you would have willingly signed with the White Sox, something's wrong.
Well, now anything's possible, you know.
No,
like I saw a report that the Cubs are going to offer for him this offseason. So
but that's like a good
report is like literally like Hector Gomez,
We're just sending the entire farm system.
They also Let's have the it. Money. The Cubs can do it.
Your farm
Cubs
system can do it. Send.
Cubs can do
like,
it.
Like what? Wisniewski, like what are you going to send? Hayden Wisniewski and like what else?
Hey,
we have like the third best farm system in baseball. What are you talking about? We'll send the whole damn thing.
Okay, like who?
Like Brendan Davis, PCA.
PCA is like no. Why are you? I like with Otani, that's like a top end talent, like an Anthony Volpe type of player.
Right, like Nick Madrigal, top end talent right there.
No way, you said Nick Madrigal.
He's special, man. He's
Madrigal. Anyways, send him in half. They can take him in half. He's a top level talent.
There's no accent on the A in Madrigal.
Okay.
As long as we keep like Nico Horner.
Yeah, I'm always saying that because like you always get mad when I put an accent on your name.
No, but like the difference is I just pronounced it wrong. It's a difference. You no.
Okay. Well, anyways, every I think time. How's so. I think we should get to stuff that actually matters here. How do we feel about the AL East? The Yankees are just selling the division away.
Yankees are just like 8-2 in their last like 10 games. So I don't really know what you're talking about.
There's 19, I believe, remaining, right? 19 games, something like that.
Well, let's do some math. The Yankees are 87 and 56. For the Yankees, have
19 games. Yeah, 19.
Which means that ends in a 3. So 162 minus a 3 would be 9. So probably 19, I'd assume.
Yeah. The Yankees are probably winning the division.
Like, they have 19 games left. The Toronto Blue Jays are 6 games back. Once they sweep them in the series that they play, you call that 3 games. And then all they have to do in those 3 games is beat them by 3 games in 16. And now, that's not really crazy.
I do want to say
Yankees go 6-10 and the Blue Jays go 9-9.
Believe the Blue Jays play the Rays 4 more times after this. After tomorrow.
Well, guess what? They are about to sweep the Rays. Actually, because they lost on Tuesday, but they're still
but it's 3-1 in the series. Isn't it at the Trop?
Today? Tomorrow?
No, the next series they play at the Trop.
Oh, well, tomorrow they're winning guaranteed because McClanahan's pitching, so
McClanahan sucks like 5 minutes.
That's why I'm saying.
You just said
the Blue Jays are winning guaranteed because McClanahan sucks.
I'm rooting for the Rays to win so the Yankees can get a half a game in the division. However, I would not be the most upset in the world if Shane McClanahan were to give up 5 or 6 runs and probably his biggest start of the season.
I mean,
since Tampa lost today and Baltimore won. I'm going to go out on a limb here. Crazy take. Baltimore makes the playoffs. Tampa.
They're not making the playoffs.
That's Tampa Rays
would beat them. Probably not. I hope they even probably not.
Beat them? It doesn't matter if they beat them. They don't
I'd
play
say,
again.
I'm just saying like the Rays in terms of
the talent. Rays have 6 more games against the Astros. Okay. They have 4 more against the Blue Jays, 3 more against the Guardians, and 3 against the Red Sox. So the Red Sox are obviously not good. But other than that, the rest of their schedule here on out after the Rangers series – so out of their, 20 games that they have to play, 6 of them are against bad teams, and the other 14 are against playoff teams.
I want you to hear the Orioles schedule now. The Blue Jays 3 times.
Yeah.
The Tigers 3 times. The Astros 4 times. The Astros 4 times. The Red Sox, the Yankees, and the Blue Jays. They're going to
lose. But this is.
They're going to play the Blue Jays 6 times. They're not taking more than maybe 3 games against the Blue Jays. Unless you think do you think the Blue Jays are going to lose 3 games out of those 6 or more?
I mean, it's possible.
But do you think that's going to happen? So that's what you have to say. Okay, so the Blue Jays are not going to win the division. The Yankees will win the division.
No, I definitely agree with that. I was just kind of trolling with the.
Okay, okay. I just want to see what where the thought process was.
I mean, like everything James says is basically a troll.
No, but like, because you got to understand, I actually like this
one. No, here's the thing: is like I actually do think Baltimore is a decent shot at making the playoffs.
No, it's more about the Yankees not winning the division.
Like, no, but you have to understand, like. Dak, I like this one though. This one's if the Jays and if the Orioles were to take the Rays playoff spot, I would treat it like a World Series. Like I'd be like
the Hall of Fame on Twitter. What are we doing?
On, I I don't know. I feel bad. Okay, now I kind of feel bad.
I wouldn't feel bad.
I feel kind of bad.
I don't think that's a crazy take, but I don't know.
But I would still stroke. I would just
take is like Shohei Ohtani to the Cubs. So it's kind of like
that's not a take. That's a prediction. That's a little bit
your average prediction.
I don't think it's a bad take though. I think the Cubs have a good farm system. They have money to spend, and Ohtani was willing to go to that
team. No, I think the Cubs are actually going to end up with Trey Turner, but that's
no Dodgers will end up. I think you guys end up with like maybe Correa, but not Turner.
We're going to get one of them, Bogarts, Correa, or Turner.
Oh, Bogarts.
Guys, you are going to be the next recipient of Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. That would be
you're
special.
You're going to love Isaiah
Kiner-Falefa. Well, here's the thing. Is like, I think Bogarts is the most likely of the three of them to play third base, so.
Bogarts is not going to play third. He wouldn't even move over to third for Trevor Story, or second for Trevor Story.
Well, okay, but Nico Horner is better than Trevor Story, so I don't know what your point is.
Did you know?
Ironically, yes, but like at the time, no.
Hey, like I'm not joking. I'm not even trolling. Like he is a better baseball player.
Oh, I just said unironically, yes, but like at the time, no.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
You're saying at the beginning of this year, Trevor Story versus right now Nico Horner.
Right.
That's a good question, actually, but we're not gonna get into that. Do we think the Phillies can make noise in the playoffs?
Yes, I think they can. I think
they probably could win the first series. I know they beat the Mets, Braves. Actually, they could beat the Braves, I think.
Because, like, if they play the Cardinals in the first round.
I would literally die for the Phillies to win. That would be so funny. All the, like, the Cardinals are the best offense in the league. And the El Chad's lab. That would be so funny if they just lost. That would be so
great. I actually think the Cardinals are pretty good. So.
I think the Cardinals might. So, here's the thing I was talking about when we were talking about the Dodgers. Like, you guys were saying, like, they might be the greatest team ever, which I think is just an unbelievably horrible take. But that's
how is it an unbelievably horrible take? It's literally statistically true. They are the best pitching staff
plus, and James is like, that's wrong.
Okay.
They're not the best pitching staff since post-integration because this team has better players and I like their players. Like, I think that's production. I care about production.
Tyler Anderson.
I'm going off Stephen A. Smith on you right
now. Oh, I'm sorry. But you know what? I think Luis Severino's true talent better than Tyler Anderson. The Yankees have a better pitching staff than the Dodgers. You know how stupid I sound right now saying that? Now Severino is better than Tyler Anderson. I'm going to say that.
I don't think you can make the argument that Tyler Anderson is better than Luis Severino.
I'm going to compare the Yankees and Dodgers rotation player by player. And I'm going to say the Yankees have a better rotation. So the Yankees have a better pitching staff. That's not how it works.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. I mean, it's because I feel like you're being a little bit hypocritical here coming from the guy who was saying
hypercritical.
I said hypocritical.
You said hyper. You said hyper.
You said innings, so it's kind of like.
Did I say it wrong?
You said hyper.
No, you said hypocritical. I think you said it right.
Nope, you said hyper. Anyways, go ahead.
Okay, well, we're going to roll the tape back. 10:02 p.m. Remember that.
Yeah, okay.
In real time.
11:02, by the way.
Whatever.
But,
okay. Anyways, Tyler Anderson is the best pitcher on the Dodgers this year in F4. Is this really what we're going with?
And yes.
You have to remember, like, in the playoffs, Ryan's always like, oh, in the playoffs, it's always strikeout. Tyler Anderson has a 6.6 K per nine.
Correct.
Do we trust Tyler Anderson?
I think you're not understanding. The Mets just got dicked down by the Chicago Cubs. The Mets just got their shit stroked, piped by the Chicago Cubs, dude. Like they stroked, fucking pumped.
I don't like the saying shit stroked.
Was it Adrian Sampson? Adrian Sampson, right? Was it him? Yeah.
Yeah, he out pitched DeGrom.
He had his shit so far up the Mets' ass that night, and you're meaning to tell
me Tyler Anderson? Why do you keep saying shit? Like, every time you said shit, dick would make more sense.
That is fair. Well, I think I don't want to be too graphic.
I'm saying dick for shit.
I'm saying because shit is like a neutral term. Shit can be like anything.
Okay,
like,
anyways. I don't want to have this.
My point is Kershaw's better, May's better, Urias is better. Anderson's not starting game one for the Dodgers.
Kershaw will start game one for the
Dodgers. Yes, correct. Then Kershaw is
very good. Will get shelled by the Mets.
You realize the Mets can't hit left-handed pitching, right? They're not
Francisco Lindor can.
What did Francisco Lindor do tonight? Want to talk about that? What did he
I don't know.
What occurred tonight against your Chicago Cubs?
He homered last night or two nights ago.
I don't even want to put down Lindor. Lindor's having a phenomenal season, but like
Lindor's having a 7-win season.
I need Bichette to like fix his defense next year so badly.
So all I'm gonna say about Francisco Lindor is that as bad as you guys laughed at my MVP take, he's gonna finish top five.
Well, he's not gonna win MVP.
Yeah, so you were.
I don't think anybody laughed at your top five take in my whole life. Maybe
I didn't. You did. Definitely did.
Well, to say when I mean, at this point, like to say he's gonna win MVP is kind of like stupid.
Yeah, you were wrong.
I know at this point it's stupid. I think the Goldschmidt thing is
me for being wrong. Like, I don't really know what you're trying to
do. I think Goldschmidt is being a little overrated, but that's a whole different thing. Mookie Betts for MVP.
Mookie Betts might have a better MVP case than Lindor right now. So I mean,
oh, he definitely does.
So you know, I'm not even like trying to shit on Lindor, more so trying to shit on you. But like, you know, Lindor's great. Lindor's a great player. But I mean, we're acting like the Mets are like this unstoppable offense that like they don't hit home runs. So that's kind of a big issue.
I mean, that's not
a big issue.
They can just slap the ball around and it's like definitely the same as like home run hitting teams for sure.
Yes, they do slap the ball around and it's fun. It's so much fun.
See, I respect them because I respect them the same way I respect the Guardians. They're a troll team and I fuck with it. I like it. Yeah, but
the Guardians are like a fun troll team. The Mets are just annoying. Like the Guardians
are
hilarious. Well, because the difference is the Guardians are like a surprise team. You're like, you're not expecting
the Guardians are the spawns of Satan.
Dude, the Guardians.
I like them a lot. They're how baseball should be played. Guys who don't strike out people, guys, batters who don't strike out. That's how baseball should be played. That's how baseball was supposed to be.
I think the problem for the Guardians right now is that Jose Ramirez has not been very good in the second half.
They just don't have enough star talent right now.
If they're getting that Jose Ramirez in the playoffs, they're gonna get swept. But if they can get
If they can get
normal Ramirez, I don't know, Quantrill shoved today because he does every time he steps on the mound. And
Canada, so I don't like him.
Okay. Can I say that with like any other country? I know it would be racist, but I'm not even gonna get into that.
I'm very openly against Canada. And
I am too.
I hate Canada. Like if you're in Canada, like I don't like you, man. I'm so sorry.
All right, well, anyways, I think when you just look
for the record, for all the people out there, I am also Canadian, so I can say these things.
No, you are? Not. I hate you. Literally. I'm sorry, dude. Can't be friends.
I'm not from Canada, but I am Canadian.
We can't. No, we got it.
Okay, well, anyways, I think the Guardians will be the 3 seed, which means that they'll get it's hard to know now, but as of right now, it'd be Tampa.
That would be like the most hilarious series ever.
If Tampa lost to Cleveland, oh my God, bro. I'd cry. Tears of fucking joy. Imagine Shane McClanahan having a playoff start.
I don't even think that's like you're saying it like the Rays would be like heavy favorites in that series.
No,
I just don't think they would.
That would guarantee that the Yankees finished farther than them in the playoffs because I don't have fucking no confidence to get past the ALCS. So,
oh, well, you're not getting past the Astros. I just don't think that's going to happen.
The Rays are smart for losing these games to the Blue Jays. Facing the Astros in the ALDS is like an auto just get sent home. I don't think the Astros are capable of losing a division series.
I don't know.
The Mariners are the only team
I think Toronto are both going to be they'll be 4-5. I definitely think both those teams could actually I think those two teams would give the Astros the best run for their money out of any team in the American League.
Yeah, right. Okay, the Yankees are better than the Blue Jays. I want to clarify this. The Blue Jays are losers, man.
The Yankees, really, since the All-Star break, have like 3 WAR other than Judge. I saw a tweet.
And the Blue Jays,
you just like said other than Judge.
One player. You can't have one player carry you through the entire playoffs.
In a five-game series?
What if like Aaron Judge 4 runs per game and Garrett Cole pitches? Like, then
they didn't be- remember that that 2020 playoffs when Stanton homered every game and the Yankees lost?
They almost won. To realize that team was everyone was horrific, horse shit for 7 fucking games, and they almost beat the Rays in that playoff series.
It was a five game series.
No, 7 games because they played Cleveland. I'm saying that team
they were pretty bad.
Horse shit. So bad.
Stanton homered 6 times in 7 games.
Stanton's like, yes. So it's kind
of dude. Stanton,
I don't understand Stanton. Stanton in the playoffs is just insane. Like
he has a fucking.
There's really no.
He's got that dog. He had the clutch gene.
I'm just.
You know what the funny thing is? We're looking at Stanton's playoff stats. He's never played more than 7 playoff games. That means the Yankees are fucking losing every time. But
it's because we're losers.
He actually didn't play. He didn't play in couple of the games in the Astros series in 2019 because
that basically ended our season when he got hurt. That was the end of our season.
Well, anyways. I mean, I think you could definitely make the argument that – not make the argument. I definitely think Seattle could beat Houston.
No, I think that. But, like, who is the Jays game for starter?
Like, in a vacuum, almost any team could beat any team. It's like, there's really no unbeatable team.
Yeah, I understand that. But I think the Astros are going to roll through the American League. but
I don't think they're going to roll through the American League, but I think
like,
they're going to.
James, like bias aside and my pessimism aside, like the Yankees are definitely like, a good team and definitely have a legitimate chance of beating the Astros. Like, let's just be real here. Like,
they would have like a 40-something percent chance of winning
the Astros. It'd still be like a good enough chance. Like, you'd be lying yourself. So, like, would they be the favorites? No, but like, you'd definitely be lying yourself if you said they didn't.
I think the Astros going into a series with the Yankees are like -250 favorites.
That would be a hammer for the Yankees. That would be such an advantage bet for the Yankees.
I would
probably be more like one -140. That would probably be
worse. You have to understand, James. I mean, this is a set, so seven games, right? So a lot of volatility here. And the Yankees team quality, I think the second half has definitely been jarring. That month of August,
bro. They're really starting. They're starting Oswaldo Cabrera.
Because half their team is on the IL.
Aaron Hicks,
because half of the team is on the IL. Because half of the team is on the fucking IL.
When they come back, they're going to have like Trevino, Rizzo at first, DJ at second, Peraza hopefully.
No, IKF is going to be playing short. The Yankees are losers.
Like, it's going to be IKF.
I have too much faith, but I think in like a really important game, like, pound for pound, they'll play the best players.
No, because they play that race.
No, the thing is,
those are some of their most important players.
The thing is that they think that IKF is one of their best players.
They don't think IKF is a better player than.
No, they're losers. The issue is that you have to understand, Jack. It's a loserism issue.
Funny story here. Boone actually has like an absolute obsession with IKF. Like, this is
right. So
that's what we're saying.
It's a disease. Like, I'm trying to explain to you. You could be the Astros winners, or you could be the Yankees losers. And the Yankees are just like, they're a good team. They make good decisions. They have a good roster, but they're just infected with losers. And that's kind of the issue. You can't quantify that, but there's some loserism in the organization. Their owner, a fucking loser. Their manager, I like Boone. But if you like IKF, you're kind of a loser. And then Cashman, he's bald, so he's kind of a loser. So you just have three guys. Like, I'm like, when you hear James Click, like, who's savvy,
Dusty
smart
Baker,
guy.
Dusty Baker's not a loser, but he's a terrible manager.
He is a terrible manager. But you know what? Jose Altuve, he's such a fucking winner.
Also a good GM, but so is Cashman. You're just like bald.
No.
One day you start balding and you're gonna think about all this.
I want to be bald. When I'm 45, I'm purposely gonna shave off all my hair. Never told you this? I'm doing that. It's a plan of mine.
Okay, but here's the thing: is like, you're saying that as a 17-year-old, you're gonna be holding on for dear life when you're 40. But
no, I'm not. When I feel it fading, I'm giving out. I'm all in, bro. Full send, dude. I'm 100% hair or 0% hair. I'm not in
between. I'll call you bald. I'll wake up every day and text.
Yes.
Okay. So the Yankees obviously are a great team, but they went from. You know, in June. We were talking about this team setting the win record in June. And then they might not break 100.
August. If you see some of the lineups they roll out because of injuries and what have you, and some of the guys just like not
producing. Yeah, but you can't just assume that everyone will A, be back, and B, be
healthy. First of all, yes, you
healthy
can.
Enough to play.
Not like ACL tears. Like, these are injuries that these guys will be back. Second of all, you can, in fact, assume they produce at their true talent level. That's a pretty good assumption to make, especially in the playoffs when in a vacuum, you kind of go off of true talent. You don't go off of like noisy X amount of games and streaks and whatever, because it's just such a compounded sample size. And three, with the pitching, you know, the Yankees pitching is probably in terms of true talent, the best playoff rotation that there is. Like, I'm going to be honest. Is there a better rotation for the playoffs than the Yankees?
I think it might be the Astros because they have Valdez. I think Cole is better than their number one. Right?
Cole
I
is better than either Valdez or Verlander.
But
Valdez,
I think Verlander is going to outpitch Cole because that's
why.
Just
Verlander's
the
worst playoff record. He's the worst playoff resume, not record like win loss. Like
all I know is that I like a little bit of recency going in here. And last time Cole stepped on a mound in the playoffs, he got shelled.
He was playing like one.
You realize the last playoffs Verlander had, he ran a 4.33 ERA, a below average.
He had a home run. Aaron
average
Hicks, Aaron Hicks had like one arm. And
I don't care about a 4.33 ERA when Gerrit Cole in the playoffs last year had like what a 6 ERA.
No, but I'm just pointing out Verlander has a 30 game sample size of being a roughly league average pitcher fit wise in the playoffs. High four FIP
wise. Oh, here we go. I don't give a shit about FIP. I care
and
about
his ERA
wins
is
and losses.
Yes.
And all I know is that I see Gerrit Cole losing games.
Not even close.
You see this 13.5 ERA.
Gerrit Cole's playoff resume with Dick Verlander's playoff resume. Verlander gets a fucking ring because he's carried by the fucking 2017 Astros. It's like the Chris Sale shit, dude. He gets fucking slurped. Slurp, dude, for doing nothing, bro. Verlander's not a special playoff pitcher. the World Series. He gets dicked, dude. It's I don't get the Garrett Cole narrative. That shit. Okay, I'm not trying to like James.
I am going to go clip that.
I know you're. I know
you're trolling. What you just did.
Like 21 ERA type shit right here.
No, but like here's the thing.
No. Red it's Sox not about fans what he said. Constantly it's about what he did with his hands.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just need to clip one fucking.
No. Not that, Jack. You should have seen it. That's not what he did.
Across. Just one.
Garrett Cole. Not that either.
We're not. That didn't. Nothing happened. Okay. Garrett Cole gets shit on by Red Sox fans. Their ace has an ERA of 6.
He is a 21 ERA.
Verlander gets a
21 ERA
in October. Scherzer blew one of the most important games in Nationals history. Gets his shit pumped in a World Series game. Has the worst ERA. DeGrom worst ERA in the playoffs.
Wait, what game did Scherzer blow?
Playoffs, dude. Do you remember that Scherzer game, 2017? NLDS, game five, shits the fucking bed. No one talks about it.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, and then the World Series, I think it was game one or game two.
Okay, he was.
He got his shit pumped. He got his shit pumped. He got
I'm going to wait until Ryan relaxes. But Scherzer was pitching off of 100 pitches on one day's rest.
How about he wants it more, huh? How about he want it more? Garrett Cole pitched on 3 days rest against the Rays. Shove.
3 days rest is a lot different than one.
The Rays got their shit pumped by Garrett Cole in that game. The only reason they didn't win is because he could get fucking hit. The Yankees are losers. Garrett Cole is not a loser. The Yankees are losers. Also, the Astros are losers for winning a World Series with Verlander and not with Cole. That shit pisses me off so much. They didn't win a World Series with Cole. That's not Cole's fault. Cole is not the loser, all right? He's not a fucking loser. He kicks ass in the playoffs. Verlander sucks in the World Series. Scherzer gets his shit pumped in Game 5s. I don't want to hear this stupid fucking narrative about these other guys who suck donkey dick in the playoffs and have worse playoff resumes about how they're true aces. Garrett Cole gave up a home run to Devers. They're in fucking last place. Oh my, like, I don't care about Fenway. The Red Sox are making the fucking playoffs because they're losers. Look at their shortstop. Oh, Xander Bogaerts going to get paid.
Xander Bogaerts is, like, leading shortstops in war this year.
He made an error from Aaron Hicks. Low fucking roller. Boom, bloop it. When he comes up to the dish, I'm about as
scared
as
I am. Why are you showing a COVID test?
Fucking,
Ryan, do you need a COVID test?
I'm not sick. If I was sick, I wouldn't be yelling.
You
I'm
seem
not,
a little
just,
bit sick.
I'm just a little bit upset.
I can send this to you. I can send this to you.
I'm good. I think I have sure. COVID tests in here. I have a bunch of
them. All right, anyways. I would say I disagree with what you just said because Garrett Cole gave up 3 runs in 2 innings in the playoffs last year. But.
James, also need a COVID test.
It's not James's fault. It's James. I know you're trolling. But there are people who genuinely deep down believe Garrett Cole's like. You can't really trust in the playoffs.
Like, okay, but you know who does suck in the playoffs? This is not even like joking around. You want to guess Frankie Montas's playoff ERA? No, really
in one don't. Start? In one start, dude? Are we serious? In one fucking start? Oh, let me take one start of Verlander getting a shit. He's just
2 starts.
One starts. 2 starts. Whatever. 2 starts.
2 starts, 9.5.
I think you need to stop trolling for Ryan's.
No, wait. No, tell me. When did he get his second playoff start? 2020?
They beat the White Sox, and then played the Astros.
Did he pitch well in that game, or did he pitch like shit? Probably pitched bad.
He pitched 2 innings, 1 earned run in the White Sox game.
Oh, did he?
And then No, he came out of the bullpen. I don't know why.
That's weird. He wasn't good in 2020, right? Wasn't he, like, bad that year? Or, like, had a bad ERA?
He's kind of bad every year.
That's just racist.
Oh, he had a 5-6 ERA in 2020. Anyways.
Racially motivated.
Okay, who's the rotation?
All I know is that Montas has a 6 ERA.
Sean Manaea, right? That's racist, by the way.
That's just gotta be racist, James.
Who was the other pitcher? They had Bassett. How'd that team win the division?
Manaea.
But Manaea wasn't good that year. Like a 4.
You're missing somebody.
I am missing somebody. Bassett was insane that year, but who am I missing?
Montas.
Oh, no, it was the bullpen. It was all those guys. They had obviously.
That's like the worst division winner I've ever seen in my life. That
they had Hendricks, they had Trevino, Soria.
Those are 6 games. Like when it's a 60 games. So it's like.
Doesn't matter. Worst division winner.
Oh, Mike Fiers was their ace that year.
Actually, wow.
I'm looking at the 19 A's, by the way. The 19 A's were the better team.
No, for sure. I mean, yeah. Didn't Yandy Diaz like dick them down? Like he hit like 2 home runs or something in that game? Or was it just one?
No, the 19 A's was the one that they gave up the leadoff homer to Diaz in the wild card game and they lost 1-0, right?
What do you think Fiers they lost keeping the age of the people he dates low or his ERA low at this point? Like what do we think is the priority for him? Oh, yeah, sorry. Okay. I'm gonna stop talking now and let you guys talk because I'm gonna just not stop.
Well,
talking.
I mean, I think we can just finish this up real quick with a couple of little predictions.
Predictions.
Because I definitely think that there are a couple things that are gonna come down to the wire. The NL East, obviously, the Mets and the Braves. The Mets, I think, currently hold a half a game lead, right?
One game.
No, half.
One game.
Half. Because they lost. Because they lost the Cubs today.
And the loss column is tied. I think it'll end up being the Mets. The Braves just have.
I don't know. Like, the Mets right now, like, obviously, Mets fans are overreacting horribly. The Mets have a fucking cupcake schedule. They play four against the Pirates, three against the A's, two against the Marlins, and three against the Nationals. So
if they blow that division, I just want to see how Frank Fleming would react. Like, I'm just rooting for the
probably
outcome.
Probably die. Like, that motherfucker.
How is his heart okay?
Carrasco tomorrow against the Pirates, against Brubaker. I don't know. I think the Mets definitely should win this division.
I agree.
As long as Jacob DeGrom doesn't get shelled by the Cubs, but doesn't get shelled by the Pirates like he did by the Cubs.
Escobar.
Easy out.
Well, anyways, I think that the Braves and Mets play one more series, right? We were talking about this, Ryan. That'll be probably deciding the division most likely. Although the Braves do have to play the Phillies 7 times in the next 2 weeks, which is kind of tough for them.
Don't the Phillies play them well too? Like, I'm pretty sure the Phillies have done decent.
I mean, we could check.
Because they've been bad against the Mets, but they were like okay against the Braves.
Well, I mean, there was a point where the Mets were beating everyone except the Braves were beating everyone except the Mets, right?
Yeah.
No, they're 6-6. The Phillies and Braves.
Yeah, so they play this year decently well. You know, considering the Phillies are the worst team, they play them decently.
Yeah, and I mean, they start a series on Friday against the Braves. The Phillies do. So I mean, that'll be interesting for deciding the division because. I mean, obviously the Phillies aren't catching the Braves. They're what, like 8 or 9 games back. So that's not really a concern for the Braves, but it's just more about the Mets. I think the Mets win the division. I think Ryan said he thinks the Mets win the division.
Yeah.
I also would say the Mets win the division.
And then, okay. And so then also the AL Central is also the only other division that's really even close.
I would say the
Guardians. I mean, it's gotta be the Guardians, right?
Yeah.
I will say, I think the Mets will lose division if like the Braves were to like acquire Yu Darvish. That'd be really funny. If like they had, I wanted
so
to
the
see
Guardians. The Guardians play 5 against the Twins, 5-game series this week. So that'll be an interesting series because the Twins could catch them if they sweep them, obviously, but that's not going to happen. And then they play the White Sox for 3, Rangers for 3, Guardians play the Rays for 3, the Royals for 3. Oh no. They end the series with a 6-game series against the Royals. Well, anyways, that's weird, but I don't know. I think the Guardians have an easy enough schedule here that they should win the division. And they're fun, and I love them, so I hope they win the division.
I agree.
And then the wild card races. I think as far as the AL goes, it's kind of just seeding, right? Toronto, Seattle, Tampa Bay. Obviously, I said Baltimore's going to make it. I actually think they have a chance, but I know that it's less than 50%. I'm just saying, like, that's a hot take.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the National League, I think it would be fucking hilarious if the Padres don't make the playoffs, but I think they probably will.
They probably will. It would be pretty funny.
They're only 2 games. The Brewers are only 2 games back.
Yeah.
I kind of need the Brewers to miss the playoffs.
You know what really sucks, though? And this is another thing that I hate about the new rules this year with the 12-game playoffs. I don't hate the 12-game playoffs. I normally hate expanded playoffs, but I do really, really, really dislike that they got rid of game 163s because those are so much fun.
That was crazy. They're always so much fun.
I think it's
I get why they did it because it messes up the playoff schedule because they have to push everything back, but you could also just schedule a day in there that's an off day if they don't need a game, you know what I mean? If they don't need a game 163,
wasn't part of the reason they got rid of it because of the lockout? Like they already pushed everything back.
And I have no idea, but I think it's a permanent thing, right? That they got rid of it.
No, I think they can negotiate that, right? Can't they? No, I don't think they can actually. Can they?
I mean, I'm sure they can negotiate it, but I think I don't think it's like I don't think they did it for just this year. Yeah. I don't know. I always thought game 163s were fun as much as they fucked the Cubs over in 2018, but.
Yeah. Still, yeah, no, I get it. And then the Rockies and Dodgers, like, that was just a fun one because we had 2 in 1 year. Like, that was awesome. And we could have had one last year.
Because, it's very possible that the Mets and Braves end up with the same record.
And could you imagine a game 163 DeGrom versus, I get Strider or Freed?
No, but it wouldn't. I don't think it would be DeGrom because you don't get to like
line up. Yeah, you kind of have to
just because the Cubs in 2018 pitched Quintana in game 163.
So. I mean, let me get even if it's like Bassett and like Kyle Wright, something like that. Like it's not, they're not going to throw out like some shitty star.
Well, here's the thing about the Mets and the Braves don't have bad enough pitchers that it would be like
right.
Yeah,
I mean,
like it's not like the Padres who'd be rolling out like Sean Manaea if they're in the wrong part of the rotation.
Like, or the Brewers, where they, if you get past Burns and Woodruff, you're kind
of. I mean, Peralta and Lauer are decent.
Lauer is that.
Hasn't Peralta lost like velocity and hasn't been. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. Maybe you go like Ashby.
Yeah, maybe Ashby.
Go Ashby as an opener, Peralta kind of get some bulk innings in there and just.
And then you could go, and then you could just go like, and then you could get into that bullpen, Boxberger, Suter. I don't know. But obviously, this is all hypothetical because it will never happen because the MLB and Rob Manfred is a fucking loser and got rid of Game 163s.
Yep. All right. That's it for this episode of the Deep Raven Left Field Podcast. If you like what you saw, please give us a 5-star rating, whatever platform you're listening to. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Deep Drive Pod. Follow me on Instagram at LB Nerds and on Twitter at LB Nerds. Follow Ryan on Twitter at Ryan Garcia ESM. Follow James on Twitter at James Valentinas. It's been Deep Drive Left Field, and we will see you in the next episode.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.